Let me add my welcome to those you've already received. It is good for us to be together to worship God today. Let's join in a time of prayer. There'll be a moment in the prayer where you can offer an intercession, a thanksgiving, a word of lift a name or a situation. I invite you to do that as well. Let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Lord of life, giver of every good gift, you who are with us and in us and for us, you who were before all was, we give thanks for your presence in our life, for the gift of your life. Lord, we pray for those for whom life is difficult these days, for those whose work is hard, for those who have no work and seek it. We pray for those who are in the hospitals and facing rehabilitations and surgery. Especially we pray for Jeff Bennett, his upcoming surgery. Give him strength, and we pray for a good and swift recovery with very little pain. Lord, we pray for those who struggle with addictions. We pray for those far from home who serve the cause of peace and justice. Lord, hear the prayers your people offer to you just now. Lord, for these we name with our lips, for these we name in our hearts. And for you who discerns the prayers even that we cannot put into words, the deep desires and yearning of our hearts for you and your life in us. Hear our prayers. In the name of Jesus, we offer them with confidence. Jesus, who taught us to pray and to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's see what's in the mail today. Coupons. Bills. Bank account. Hope those two line up. Junk. This one's from the church. Wonder what that could be. Transformed Living Service Commitment. Yes. I'm ready to dive in, connecting more with others, acting as God's hands and feet on earth. Yeah, if God's depending on these hands and feet, this world is in a heap of trouble. What else? Administrative. Office help, finances, answer the phone. Let's see. I can't make my own checkbook balance, ever. And I don't know how to set up the voicemail on my phone. That's going to be a lot of help. I can see it now. Hello, Kelly Chaos speaking. How may I disconnect your call? That would be good. Adult ministry. No way. Adults expect you to already know what's in the Bible. Children's ministry. My own kids tend to keep me at arm's distance. No PDA, Mom. Church building, communications, evangelism. Evangelism? I don't even know what that means. Music and arts. Too bad the only song I know is Jesus Loves Me. Well, maybe they like Jesus loves me. Hello, Kelly Kay. Hello. Oh, hi, Kathy. How's your mom? Oh, I'm so sorry. We've been praying for you all. Oh, sure. Absolutely. No, not a problem at all. You just drop her by on the way to the hospital, and I'll be glad to take care. No, it's not a problem. Okay. Great. I'll see you then. Hey, David, what brings you this way?
Hi, Kelly. Well, I had some errands to run over this end of the town, and Helen asked me to return your dishes.
You know, you didn't have to do that. I was coming by to see her tomorrow. I could have gotten them then.
Well, that wouldn't work. When Miss Helen gives me an order, I obey. And besides, I wanted to tell you how much that I appreciated all you did for us after her surgery. I mean, the cards, the phone calls, the dinner. It meant a lot to both of us.
Well, I'm glad. How's she doing?
Well, pretty good. I have to run now to keep up with her.
Maybe it's you I ought to be praying for.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
Oh, that thing. Come on in. I'd like to hear more.
No, I must run. I've got to finish up this honey-do list. Thanks again.
See you, David. Hello? Oh, hi, Jenny. Yeah, okay, yeah. You know, I'm glad. Listen, if it hadn't been for you last week, I'd have been sitting in church all by myself. I really appreciate you coming with me. True. Uh-huh. Well, I'm glad it meant a lot to you. It usually means a lot to me, too. Well, of course, yeah. Sometimes I question things at church, too, but that's okay. You know, I need the church, and I need my church family, just like I need God in control of this crazy life of mine. Yes. Well, would you like to come with me next Sunday? Good. Great. You know, there's something else I've been meaning to ask you. I was wondering, I go to a Bible study on Thursday morning. Thought you might like to come with me to that. Kim is a fantastic teacher. And there are so many ladies there with such insightful answers to the questions that we go through each week. They might be able to handle some of those questions you had last week as well. Good. I can pick you up. Okay. All right. We'll see you then. Bye.
It's Kelly. I'm here.
Clarice. Oh, I'm so glad you're here. I've got her. Give your mom our love. All right. Come on in, sweetheart. Let me get these bowls and put them away.
What's this?
Oh, that. Well, that's just a list of, all the things I really can't do. I think I'm going to mark this one at the bottom that says, just anywhere the church needs me. As if the church really needed me anywhere.
Well, Miss Kelly, I need you.
Oh, Clarice, that's so sweet. I need you too. I especially need you today, because today we're going to bake cookies for your mom when she comes back to pick you up.
Ooh, chocolate chip, my favorite.
All right, let's get started.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
You know, most of the skits they do, they write and they put together. If you'd ever like to be a part of that skit team, check that on the page when it comes around. We've been reading and thinking about the treasures of the transformed life. And part of that is the way we serve. Our model is taken from the 13th chapter of John's Gospel. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was tied around them. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "You do not know now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean, and you're clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. And for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and had returned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the ones who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, open our hearts, our spirits, our imagination to your way and to your life. Amen. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Calloused, sweaty, smelly. Feet with dirt ground into the pores under the nails. It was not uncommon in Bible times when you had a guest, had a party, a dinner party, to have a bowl of water and some towels for people to wash up when they got there. I mean, given that the roads were unpaved and a lot of large animals wandering around and people wore sandals, you know, you just kind of needed to clean up a little bit. But what was uncommon was for the host of the party to do the washing. Usually it would be the lowliest servant, or if you were a rabbi, a teacher, and you had students, you might make your freshman class, you know, the new ones, the novices, you know, the pledges, you're going to wash our feet. For the upperclassmen. That's how you might do it. Or maybe if you had a student in detention, you're going to wash feet at the next dinner if you don't behave. But Jesus just turns the expected etiquette upside down. Puts a towel around his waist and he washes these nasty feet. This foot washing is a prelude, an anticipation of what's coming next. Jesus pours out this water here. But later, he will pour out his life for his people. This is just hours away from his trial and going to the cross. And so, in just a little bit, he will be pouring out his life. He'll undergo complete humiliation on the cross. This story is about the depth of God's love for us. God in human form, Jesus, God come to earth in Jesus. God, the King and the Creator of it all, assumes the posture of a servant, a slave, the lowliest servant. You know what this means when we Christians begin to think about God? We don't begin by thinking about God's omnipotence and God's sovereignty and God is the great all in all. I mean, God is those things. But you know, it was the Greeks who had Zeus and the Romans who had Jupiter. And I guess the Norsemen who had Thor. And you know, it was like the great God who was always a little bit peeved, a little bit on edge, looking to get you and throwing thunderbolts. That's kind of what people thought God was like. We Christians say God is great and God is sovereign and God is omnipotent. But you know, what we know most about God, we know through Jesus. And what he teaches us is that the truest picture of God is God is a foot washer. God is one who is willing to serve his people. God is even to be willing to be humiliated and broken for the sake of his people. So I could end the sermon here, and it would be about the humility of God, the tenderness of God, the love of God, the self-giving nature of God. That's what this story is about at one level. But you know, the story doesn't end there with the foot washing. That's only part of what Jesus came to do. He became human to show us what God is like. But he also became human to help us be more God-like. Now, that's not some New Age kind of thinking. It's a very ancient and orthodox idea that Jesus comes to bestow us with something of the divine. Saint Irenaeus was one of the earliest writers and thinkers about this great mystery of Christ. In the year 200, way back, he wrote, "God became who we are in order to make us what he himself is." Or fast forward to the 1940s and the German martyr Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He wrote in his book, God has become a man so that men could be like him. And it's right there in the Bible. Notice that Jesus does not say when he washes the feet, "Okay, I've washed your feet. You had better worship me. That's what you better do." That's not what he says. And he doesn't say after he washes his feet, "Okay, I washed your feet. You better believe in me now." That's not what he says. He says, "If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Jesus does not say, "Worship me." He says, "Follow me. Imitate me. Do what I do. Serve like I serve." Real, authentic, genuine Christianity is so much more than just worshiping Jesus with our lips or saying we believe. It's so much more than an intellectual consent to some ideas about, "I believe this about the Bible," or "I believe this about the Trinity." I mean, that's important. But Jesus, that's not what he's talking about here. Authentic Christianity is to do what he does. Part of what the church exists to do and to be is to help people develop themselves in a life of service to others as a way of growing into somebody who is more like Jesus. I want you to hear from someone today who's on that path like you are. Mary Frances Pittman, would you come and share? Mary Frances, a lot of y'all taught her in Sunday school, MYF. What are some of the ways you have served through and in this church and through your lifetime?
Well, I've done several mission projects at CFAT, and I teach Sunday school, the special needs class. I've built ramps, VBS. I sing in choir, and it's all been really very rewarding.
You ever serve communion, been an acolyte, done all that, do all that, yeah? Serve in a lot of ways. I had to pull her out of a Sunday school class. She was helping to teach the Sunday school class. I said, "I need you to come help." "Well, okay." So, tell me about this CFAT. We've heard a little bit about that. That's Servants in Faith and Technology. It's kind of a camp down in Lineville, Alabama.
Yes, it's really more of a school. It's what they do is they get students from third world countries to come and learn how to use the basic technologies that they have around them to meet their basic needs of food, water, and shelter. And we learned how to purify water, which is a really big deal. We learned how to make bricks. That was pretty exciting.
Yeah. Real good life skill.
Oh, yes. Building bricks.
But if you were in a third world country, because building the bricks has something to do with building a little efficient stove, is that right?
Yes. Smoke inhalation is, I think, the fourth leading cause of death in third world countries. So it's a really big deal.
From just cooking over open fire. Okay. In closed spaces. So you teach people how to build more efficient ovens and fires out of simple things they've got. Great. How do you connect your serving to your faith?
Well, the way I see it, pretty much up until his last breath, that's all Jesus did was serve. Jesus didn't care who you were, what you did, social class. He didn't care what religion you were. So many of the petty things that divide us today, just as a church, as human beings, Jesus pretty much ignored. And he still reached out to people. And so I figure if we do that, it gives us a deeper connection to him.
Thank you. What have you learned about from others that you served? Anything along the way?
When I think about learning, I think about the Fitzers in their Sunday school class. The Fitzers are three wonderful children that we teach in the special needs Sunday school class. And it says in the bulletin that we teach them, but it's the other way around. They really teach us more. The Fitzers, they're such wonderful kids, and when they look at you, they don't judge you. They don't care how you look. They don't care where you've been. They don't care what you've done. They look at you, and they greet you with love, and they're just really wonderful kids, and they've taught me a lot, especially about patience.
About patience, yeah. Good lesson. Do you think the ways you have served around here as a child and a youth, how will that impact your future or change what you do with your life?
I think that mission work is part of what God is calling me to do, and I really am looking forward to seeing what he's got in store.
Great. So you might even be a missionary?
I hope so.
I am sure whatever you do in life, you will be serving people. We're grateful. Thank you for sharing. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. We love you. Well, you know, and she's going back to teach her Sunday school class. You know, the church helps us become people who are more like Christ. Many of you find your place to serve in your homes, in your workplace, in the community. Some of you use your job as a way to serve. The important thing is that you find a place to serve. I believe none of us will be happy until we figure out where God means us to serve others. I talked with one of our other servants around here, somebody who visits people in the hospital a lot. If you're in the hospital, she's part of a team that probably have come to see you, maybe brought you a little goodie bag. I asked her about that, and she said, well, you know, I'm a little embarrassed. I get more out of it than I think I give. I asked her if serving was something she did in her career, in her working life. She recently retired. She said, oh, no. When I worked, I was the boss. I made people wait on me. I said, well, I bet you were a good boss. She said, well, I really think I was. They said I was. I said, well, how did you get involved in this personal kind of ministry? I said, were you drawn to helping people in the hospital? She said, no, I'm not scared of them. She said, but somebody asked me. Somebody asked me if I'd go do this. And I said, well, I could do that. Well, part of the reason the church exists is to help people figure out where they're meant to serve. If you're on the mailing list, you may have gotten one of these in the mail. There are extra copies out in the foyer. And this just lists some of the areas where you might like to serve. You know, I know some people like to do what they do, you know, 5 days a week. They're an accountant and they want to be accountant. But some people who are in finance, they say, I'll do anything, but please don't give me anything to do with figures. You know, it's kind of like they want to do something different. So sometimes it's something you do the other days, and sometimes you serve in ways that you don't get to serve. So you can figure that out. But I invite you to give some reflection, uh, to to indicate here an area you might want to serve. And next week, when you will have the chance to make an estimate of your financial giving, to indicate your intention to be in prayer for others, to be in worship, you can also share this with us. And in the next month or so, 6 weeks, someone will be in touch with you about helping you find a way and a place to serve. So I invite you to do that. Because when we begin to make ourselves available for others, to put someone else or someone greater on our agenda, it changes us. It's a little bit of a restraint on my selfishness that I serve. It helps me keep my faith from being just a head trip. Just, you know, I believe. It's more than that. It connects my head and my heart and my hands. And it slowly bends, shapes, molds us into something more like Christ. It's been said our life to us is God's gift to us. And what we do with our life, that's our gift to God. I give thanks for all the ways you make your life a gift from God, to God. As you have understood, it's a gift from God. Let us pray together. Oh Lord, you who came among us as a servant, we give thanks for your abiding presence in our midst as the risen Christ. You put in our heart to serve, to love. You nudge us to greater sharing. And we thank you for it. Lord, open our hearts to you. Make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. That same time when Jesus washed feet, he also shared bread in the cup. He shared with his disciples. And told us to continue to receive the bread and the cup as signs of his presence among us. Everyone here today is welcome to receive the bread and cup, whether you are a member of this church or another church or no church. But if you wish to receive what Christ offers to you, you are welcome. Our custom is to come forward, and then there will be someone on either side with bread and the cup, and you may receive and then go, and there will be someone even to take your empty cup. But you are all welcome. Let us pray together. Lord, send your Spirit on us, on this bread and cup that we bless. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ. Make us be the body of Christ for the whole world. Be with us, in us, and for us. In Jesus' name, I invite those who are to share in the serving, if you would come first.
Food and sort of household supplies. They're right in front of the church library.
Would you stand for a blessing as we go out to serve? Go into the world in peace, love the Lord, and serve Him as you have been served. By this one who loves us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen. Go in peace.